huge hand for the Inspire Church Singapore creative pastor, Pastor Jeremy Chua.
All right, thank you, thank you. Can someone give me a hand with that? I don't even know how to read that. All right, thank you. It's such an incredible honor to be here. Of course, thanking my senior pastors, Pastor Haiti and Hamish, and of course, Pastor Don and Julia, for giving me an opportunity to come and share with all of you this morning. So yes, my name is Jeremy. I was born in Singapore. I lived in several other places, but grew up over in Singapore. I'm going to tell you a bit more about Singapore. First of all, I want to like to put a disclaimer. You can't believe everything that those guys in the awesome show say. They're only 90% correct. But yeah, so over in Singapore, it's a warm tropical country. One of national pastimes, 24, is eating, right? And we have restaurants open 24 hours. You can go to a place at 1:30 a.m. on a weekday night and still have to wait for a table, that kind of, yeah. So we love eating, and so I love coming to New Zealand and seeing so many animals. You know, you have a lamb, you know, you got your cows, and normally people ask me, what's my favorite? And I'll tell them, you know, medium rare, thank you very much. So I love coming here. In fact, the other day, I think we just went to a Maori village, and we had a hungi. Am I saying it right? Hungi, yep. Hungi. Yeah, the hangi. All right, okay, sorry, I'm just trying. But the food definitely spoke to my soul. We connected right there. It was glorious, right? So we love to eat. And another thing about Singapore is that it's a very safe place. It's really safe. We've got really strict laws. I'm not going to go into that right now. But we do have strict laws. And so it's very safe. So much so that you can leave, you know, you can put your phone on a table and, you know, almost no one takes it or anything, and you can walk away. So it's very safe. And because I grew up in such an environment, you know, we're not used to danger at all, right? We're not used to danger. And so I've come in, you know, in a very safe environment, you know, very comfortable. And so when I was living over in Australia, I once took a road trip with some of my friends, right? We went up the Gold Coast and we went to Movie World. Have anyone been to Movie World? Yeah. So we were in Movie World, and up to this stage, you know, I've never taken a roller coaster in my life. Never. Never. And I mean, for my background, that was, yeah, why would I consciously want to put myself in danger? Didn't make sense to me, right? But along a trip, remember, this was years ago, right? So I had, like, we were traveling, some guys and some girls, and the girls were really pumped about the roller coaster, right? And they were younger, so they were telling me, hey, come on, Jeremy, it'd be fun, you know, let's go. And like I said, this was much younger, so my man, who was still a bit fragile then. Any guys? No, you don't have to admit that. But so the moment they said that, let's go, I had to go, you know, to show that I was a man. So I reluctantly went in line, you know, and queuing up, I could feel already standing in line. We went to the Superman one. I don't know, there was a worse one there. You went straight up, and then there was a four-story drop straight down right after you're at the top. So they want to go that first, right? So I was there in queuing line. I already could feel, you know, like the cold sweat. My hands were starting to shake. I couldn't really, my heart being so fast, I didn't even know it was there anymore. So I was in line, and when we reached the end of the line, we were ushered to the end of the row, and I was like, oh, this is amazing, right? At least I get to be at the end. And then when the roller coaster came, I realized that there was a front. So I had no choice but to take a step in. Being at the front, and man, I've never prayed so hard before. So before I knew it, the thing started. It was meant to go from 0 to 100 kilometers an hour within the first 12 seconds. So we just shot right up. And then that came to the peak. And because I was the first one in the first car, I get to go over the peak and to be staring straight down, four stories high, for what I felt was the longest moment. And I think at that point of time, I lost all of my Christianity in that split second. And, you know, you can just feel that moment when, you know, the tipping point, when the rest of the cars finally come over, yeah, and we just went straight down. And, well, I think I must have blacked out because I don't remember much of it after that. But I remember coming out of the roller coaster, and, you know, after adrenaline had died down and I collected all my internal organs and put them in the right place again, you know, I thought about it. I was like, hey, that wasn't that bad after all. So I was like, okay, yeah, maybe I'll give something else another go. So it went on throughout the day and other rides, and before I knew it, right, I was actually starting to enjoy it. And it started to become fun, so much so that now, you know, I had a season pass to Universal Studios in Singapore, your annual pass. And I would just, whenever I'm in the area, I just go in and go to the worst roller coaster ever by myself and just have a ride and just go back out, right? But you see, that whole big change from being afraid and having the fear of roller coaster into starting to enjoy it, you know, it was because of a few of my female friends going, hey, Jeremy, we're going on this. You want to come? Right? And I then had to make the decision to then, yeah, but it was still my choice to stand in line. It was still my choice to actually finally step foot in the car, right? So it started out with my friends encouraging me on. And I'm just wondering, right, what if God is speaking to you right now to ask you and calling you to an adventure that is beyond your wildest dreams, beyond your wildest imagination. They've never gone before. And he's calling and he's just waiting for you to just take that one step forward in that direction. I really believe that, you know, I'm going to share with you something that, you know, it's going to break some walls down this morning. Anyone believe that with me? Yeah? Sure, pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for all that you have done throughout Inspire Conference, and you're about to do. We know this is not over yet, and we believe that there's so much more to come. So, Lord, right now we just surrender, open ourselves, open our spirits up to what you're doing in this place and in us, and give us the courage to say yes and amen to all they have called us into. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, in Mark 9 tells a story, you know, where, if you could get the passage up. Mark 9 tells a story of this man who had a son, you know, who had this spirit in the son, which threw him in the fire and water and, you know, tried to kill him, essentially. And he brought his son to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't cast the demon out. So the disciples brought the boy to Jesus. And then this where I'm going to take it from where the man says to Jesus. And so Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? He said, from childhood, he answered, right? He has often thrown him in fire water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. There was this strange paradox I noticed, that this man believed, but yet he was asking Jesus help with his unbelief. So there was belief, and there's unbelief. And this is what I believe happened, right? I believe that there are layers to our faith, that there are layers to our faith. On the very first surface layer, right, the top layer, we have the belief that God exists, right? This man had no problem believing that Jesus existed. Jesus was right there in front of him. He could touch him, you know? Same with us. Many of us here have no issues believing that God exists. So that's we got that first layer. The next layer down, right, is there's a belief that God is who he says he is, and that he can do what he says he can do. He can heal. There can be miracles. He has supernatural power, right? Same thing. The man had no problem believing that Jesus could work wonders. He's seen it. He's heard about it. He's seen Jesus heal the sick, raise the dead. All that he knows, he believes, right? And then there's that third layer that I think many of us struggle with, like this man. And we've, at some point of your life, you may have had this challenge. The third layer of belief that this man had, right, that he struggled with, right? He knew that God existed. He knew that God could do anything. But what he struggled with, I believe, is that he struggled to believe that this God, all-powerful, was willing to do something for him. And I think that's what so many of us may struggle with, right? That we know all the things that God can do, but we just struggle to believe that God can use us, like what he's spoken over us. That what he is able to do with us, what he has spoken into us. So there, are we believing enough to then step into that direction which God has called us to? You know, we've come to this conference, of course, it's titled Speak, and we're wanting, expecting God to speak to us, you know, to call us to something. And maybe some of you here may already have that calling. You know God has spoken to you. But right now, what are we going to do about it? In Matthew 17, Jesus brought the parable, right? And all of us would know it. It's a parable of the mustard seed, right? In which Jesus says, right, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell, say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. How big of a faith did Jesus say that we need? Small? We don't need much big faith. We just need small faith. But I think the Bible, what the Bible tells us about our faith that we need to have, right? Paul writes it in 2 Corinthians verse 8. Bring up 2 Corinthians, yep. In the Passion, it says, you do well and excel in every respect, in unstoppable faith, right? There's a lot more that we can unpack, but I don't have time to unpack the whole passage. Let's just focus on first, unstoppable faith. It's not about the size of our faith. It's about faith being unstoppable, right? You don't have to believe the entire plan that God has spoken over you. All you need to do is to believe enough to take that one step forward, right? And to take another step and another for it to become unstoppable. You know, we so often think, and we like to compare, right? We think that, you know, how can God use us? You know, we hear God speaking. How can God use us? You know, we pray over people and, you know, the power of God doesn't come and people just fall like that, like Pastor Tim. Or, you know, we may think that, well, we may not be as physically talented as Pastor Jesse. Or we may not be as good looking as Pastor Don. How can God use us, right? And so we just end up sidelining ourselves, you know, thinking that, yeah, because we don't have these gifts that these other people have, God can use us. But you know what? The Bible tells us that we're not meant to be backup plans. You know, we're not on the sidelines just watching all these other anointed people living out their faith, right? In 2 Thessalonians 2, right? In the Message, it says, meanwhile, we've got hearts hands full, continuing thanking God for you, our good friends, to be loved by God. God picked you out as His from the very start. Think of it, including God's original plan of salvation by the bond of faith in the living truth, right? He had plans for you right from the very start. You're not a backup plan. You are the plan. You are plan A. He never had a plan B, right? God's plan for your life is His plan. What He has over you, you're not meant to be a backup. You're meant to be who He's called you to be, right? So He's calling us to step into that faith, stepping into that position. But He is speaking, are we believing? Are we believing? And just going to give you a quick few points, very practical, to help us to live out that faith that's unstoppable, a faith that endures. First of all, position. I think all of us need to be planted in a community of believers, right, that complements each other. And we have that in church, right? Paul describes us as a body that none of us were meant to be gifted to do everything by ourselves, right? Some of us hands, some of us eyes, some of us, and so on and so forth, right? Your gift complements the entire body. You alone are not enough, but together we suddenly become the body of Christ. So let's get ourselves positioned and planted in that community in which God can use you together with others. And when you're working together, you can have that resonance in which you're creating so much more than you can do on your own. So be planted. Next thing about position is this. Some of us need to be positioned, right, and get ourselves equipped and skilled to do what God has called us to do, right? We need to do that. It's very practical. By way. If you think about David and Goliath, right, and we all know the story, right, that the time when David faced Goliath, it wasn't his first time using a slingshot. It's not his first time. He was a shepherd before, and, you know, he's been practicing his slingshot, taking out lions, taking out wolves, you know, he's done it all before. So the moment that he stepped up on the battlefield to face Goliath, the giant is just another target. Right? It's just another target. He's done it. He's been practiced. He knows what to do. So some of us, maybe God has spoken to you about stepping into business. Maybe it's time to get equipped and learn, get some business studies. If you think that He's called you to be a musician, right, you need some music lessons. Easy enough, right? But we need to be able to take that step of faith and equip ourselves and position ourselves in such a way so that when He calls, we are ready to step up. Position. Next is to find partners in your dream. I'm not talking about partners like spouse. I'm talking about partners in your dreams, to your dreams. Find yourself people who love you, who care for you enough, right, for who God has called you to be. It can be your leaders. That's why it's so important to be part of small groups, right? You have your I groups here in Inspire Church, right? Be part of a small group where you have leaders you're able to share things with. One thing is that, right, things maybe sound really scary, may sound really intimidating at the start, but these leaders are there to partner with you, to encourage you, and of course, to hold you accountable, make sure you don't step off the path to what God has called you to. So they're very important. Find friends, close friends, right, who you feel that you can trust and speak life into what God has also spoken into you, right? Because we all need it. We all have those days that, you know, we don't feel too good. We don't think that, you know, God is able to use us, but that's where these friends come along, and suddenly they start reminding us and speaking to us and encouraging us on. And we have the third P, which I think many of us do not like to hear. It's perseverance. Perseverance, right? In Hebrews 12, As for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds, so we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and sin we so easily fall into. Then we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination for the path that's already marked out for us. Right? It's really small words. Sorry, I'm not as young as I think I am. But yeah, somewhere there's perseverance somewhere, yeah. Oh, there you go. That's a lot bigger. Yep. So yeah, we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection, right? His example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you will be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne. Home. So, Paul talks about a lot of races, and the whole message of a race is always running with endurance, running with perseverance, to not stop running, right? And even if things don't seem to be working in our direction, you know, according to our plan, right? You know, because God doesn't really work according to our plan, we know that. But in those days, we have to remember that all we need to do is to keep stepping forward, taking one step forward. We're not created to time God. We're created to trust God. Right? We're meant to trust that throughout whatever life throws at us, he's still got a plan for us. And all we need to do is step forward. So all of us here, we know that God is here. We know that God is speaking to us. And I think what I would love to see everyone in this conference be able to do is to grab hold of what God has spoken over our lives and to see that put into action. You know, it would be really disappointing to have just amazing 3 days of conference and being prayed for and all these amazing worship, and then we go back on Monday and nothing changes. So we're just at the start of conference, but I would really like to encourage all of us, to start mentally committing ourselves that whoever God has spoken to you, that whoever God is speaking, or whoever God will be speaking to you over the next few days, let's begin to position ourselves. Let's begin to commit to that it will not just be words that are spoken over us, but that it will be transformation over our lives. The first step usually is the most difficult. You know, dreams so big, so amazing, that we can't even fathom or even plan to what God has called us to do. It may be too unbelievable. But maybe if we can just take that one small step. It may be just be signing up for classes. It may be telling one of your leaders, one of your close friends, about what God has spoken. But let's take that one step. And then the next day, you know, getting out of bed, maybe at work, things don't feel that right. You know, your boss told you off, don't get along with colleagues. All you have to do is maybe then take that one small step. You know, remember, all we need is small faith, just a small step. Maybe in medical reports, you have medical reports that are not going your way. You have sickness. Things don't seem right. Just another small step. People don't believe you. Your families and friends, you know, think that you're not all that. Just carry forward. Just another step. And soon, with each step that you take, you begin to realize and notice that God is working. And with each step, you realize that if God is for you, nothing can be against you. And then you take another step, another step. And suddenly you realize that you are called to be conquerors, right? That you are called to overcome challenges. And you're soon enough, you find yourself walking, and then there can be a mountain in front of you, but suddenly the mountain is just there to keep things interesting. And then you're just walking and walking, and soon before you know it, you're running and you're running and running. And suddenly you find yourself that you're running the race that God has called you to. And it all starts with just that one small step of faith. So I'd like to invite all of us, right, this morning, if we could just stand. Can we just stand? I'm small. I need to stand up here so you can see me. So I know some of us here, God has already spoken. God has already spoken. You know it. God has spoken to you from years, maybe years ago, right? And he's just there waiting, waiting for you to finally believe enough to step into what he has spoken over you. And I'd like you maybe make that decision this morning to finally take that bold first step into what God has called you to. And maybe there's some of you here who are just wanting to hear from God, hungry to hear from what God has spoken to you. So shall we just open ourselves up to that ground? I encourage you to open yourself up to what God is speaking throughout this conference. Stay positioned to pick it up. The next few preachers speaking, the next few speakers, whoever they're coming up, right? Get ready. Start taking notes. Because who knows when that phrase, that word will just drop into your spirit. And maybe some of you here, you're struggling and you're like, you know what? You're not too sure that God can use you. You're not too sure that, you know, because of your background, because of where you are, because of your status quo or your education level, that God can use you. My friend, I'm here to tell you that he can, because all these things is inconsequential to him. And for that group of people, if you're struggling with that, I want you to take that step, that first step, just to believe that he can use you. So shall we pray? Shall we open our hearts right now? Father God, today, this morning, Inspire Conference, we just open our hearts, we open our lives to you right now. That whatever you may be speaking, that you may be calling us to, whatever our next step will look like, that you will embolden us, give us the courage, give us the faith to believe, give us the faith to step forward, to step forth into what you've called us to. That it's not something that would hold us back, Lord, that we'll be going, we'll be propelling forward into dreams, into visions, that fresh revelation would release into this place, Lord Jesus, into our lives. So, Father God, we thank you and release our lives into your hands and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fantastic. Give me a huge hand.